Well, part of what, part hell, it's the whole mystery. Whenever we experience something that get discomfort is, makes us suffer, our, and all of us do it, our natural inclination is to move to another place, to do something different. And the Book of Revelation and elsewhere cry out to us, you know, and again, I'm not saying this is, has something to do with salvation or not salvation, but the Book of Revelation cries out, "Though they that endure till the end shall be saved." There is only one cause. There's only a first cause. And that cause is something that no matter what condition we find ourselves in, therein stand still and see the salvation of God.
For some reason I must not be up to that. It's like, I hate the work environment I'm in. I hate my social, my romantic life, which doesn't exist. And then I think, well, God, if this is what it is to be chosen, choose somebody else. I mean, at the same time, I mean, you've all heard me say this many times, it's like, I don't want to be a bastard child, and at the same time, there are times I just want to be fucking happy for a change. I just don't want to screw around being bored or anxious or weird all the time. You know, and then I think, well, there's something wrong with me because I don't have any endurance, I don't have any faith. I just feel like I'm becoming an old, ugly spinster day by day. It's just the same old, boring, miserable shit. And I really don't know what the point is.
Let's go to Numbers. Chapter 13. If anybody's taking notes, the reading from the Fast of Ab is Numbers 13:26 through Numbers 14. So it's a long section, but it's probably singularly the most important object lesson that we can ever learn. It's the most difficult of all things that God asks us and asks of us. What has happened is Israel has spent a time, and they're coming up, you know, they've had their Feast of Passover, their Feast of Pentecost, they're coming up, and they're here at Kadesh Barnea, and they sent spies into the land. To spy out the land. And 10 of the spies came back. Well, 12 of them came back, but 10 of them got they gave a bad report. And this occurrence took place on the Fast of Ab, according to the ancient rabbis. Everything we're about to read took place on the Fast of Ab. The Fast of Ab is the day on which everything bad that happened to Israel happened. And the period between the Fast of Tammuz and the Fast of Ab, those 21 days, are called being between the straits. Think it not strange. That's the only thing that separates us from the world. We have an anchor that says it isn't strange to suffer. The Gentile mind has something else. It's a mind that defines its own life. It defines its own destiny, thereby having to do something or get something done in order that they would have peace. It's a tough battle. It's the worst battle there is on the face of the universe. Many are called, but few are chosen. The gate gets narrower and narrower. The path gets steeper and steeper. But that's what we're about. We are aliens in a bizarre land. We have no commerce with the value systems, emotional, intellectual, or any of this world system. We are a people that have been called out of this world. The fast of Ab is when the temple was destroyed the first time. The fast of Ab is when the temple was destroyed the second time. On and on and on, as we'll see more and more as we look. Let's see what happens. 13:26. The spies have just gone out. Now they've come back. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And that's right here. They came right here to Kadesh Barnea, which means sanctuary in the wilderness. Now that's all this place has been for you thus far. It's a place of a sanctuary in the wilderness. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we wrestle against the spiritual powers in the high places. And here lies the place of the high place. We are never, ever, ever going to change anyone's circumstance vis-a-vis this body, this doctrine, because all things continue as they were from the beginning. Always will. Until as a thief in the night, in a split second of time, the heavens will melt. We've got 12 spies, one from each tribe, that was sent into the promise. And now we're going to get their report. Wilderness of Parham to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit thereof, or fruit of it. Now milk and honey, by all ancient ways of translating, milk is the word of God, the Torah. Honey is that individualized sweetness of the time when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you alone and you taste it and you know it. There's nothing in the face of the earth that can compare to that. It is all and in all. A land that floweth with milk and honey, no matter what the senses tell us. A land that floweth with milk and honey while you're being sawed in half. Let's look at, keep your hand there and go to Hebrews 11. Verse 33. The whole of the chapter is a review of what faith is, starting from Adam, or starting from really from Abel, all the way down. Now in verse 33, It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. These of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, anything that's weighing on your mind, lay it aside. Lay aside every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy, really what it says there is, who for instead of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and quit or faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The land flows with milk and honey no matter what condition you're in. Nothing on the face of the earth. Nothing above the earth or below the earth. Nothing in all of time and space can affect you, that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's only one thing that can separate you. You. And this is a battle to the death. This is every contest, every game of sport that's taken, every person that lays a bet down, every army, every war that has ever occurred is a lesson in this. What we are studying, it's a contest, a fight to the death. And the scriptures boldly declare no matter what your mind says, you are victorious. And to see that in the midst of torment and tribulation, of fatigue, of confusion, of whatever, is what God calls faith. Faith isn't a commodity to get you something. It's that thing that takes place within you that you know, no matter what the circumstances, that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. Go back to Numbers. Verse 28, they just said it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people that are in the land, or the beings in that land, be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Anak is the giant. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. 10 people, 10 individuals just like you and I, walked into that promise, saw the fullness of the Godhead, saw everything with perfect clarity, saw through these giants, saw through the walled cities, saw through the defense cities, and saw Jesus. Only 2 saw Jesus. 12 of them saw only the problems. Let's see what happens. Caleb was one of them. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Let's go at once. And the word "at once" there, it's one of those great words that means instantaneous. Let us go at once and possess it. You can possess it tonight. There is no more battle to be fought. He fought it and won. The only battle that any of you are going through is who is in this vessel, this temple. Who is on the throne? You understand? But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." The people, the problems, the situations in your life are stronger than the living Christ. Therefore, I must lean on my own arm of understanding in order that I might effect a desired solution. That's the essence of sin. The essence of sin since the day of the cross is you have lost the right to yourself. And every trick of the evil one, every trick of this mind, defines solely and exclusively that you have a right to yourself. And the Word of God, and hopefully the preaching and the Holy Spirit, come crashing in against the idea that you have a right to yourself. And it can take 1,000 forms. I've seen it happen in every one of you, hundreds of times. But I've also seen the victory that overcometh in every one of you. Don't let anything let nothing separate you from this land of milk and honey. The response is simple, ever and always. Get thee behind me, Satan. You think you are operating under the guise of your free will. I promise you, by everything that's holy, by the God of heaven, that you do not have free will. You are operating either in the will of God or in the will of Satan. There's no in-between. There is no neutral ground. The will of God says, abandon yourself. Take no thought. The will of Satan is manifested 5 billion ways in the guise of free will. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let none of you be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We got spies. We got some evils. We got these spies, and there's all this talk that there's some kind of hope. There's some kind of a joy. There's some kind of ecstasy. But all I know is that it's a vain thing to serve the Lord. That's all my senses know. It's a fruitless thing to serve God. not see the rest of the spies. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That's the eternal cry of the evil one. Eternal cry of the evil one. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Oh, but you don't know what I'm going through, Ollie. You don't understand my situation, Ollie. Yes, I do. Once and for all time, are you going to serve God or not? Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report. They just saw with their senses. There is these big walled cities. There is this terrible situation in my life. There is this wall about me that I can't let anybody in. There are these fears within me. There is this lack of faith within me. There are 1,001 giants in the land, in your land. But the evil report is to see and sense and speak by what you perceive with your senses. Do you understand that? That's the evil report, because that's the report of the evil one, and that's all he can do is lie. He's lying. We are about a God who died in order that the covenant within us is complete. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, that destroys the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I beg of you, please hear these words. There are 1,000 giants in this room. But don't be of the 10 spies. See through to faith. See through. And faith, I mean, it sounds like that's a religious thing to do. All it means, you know, faith is just what's left when everything else you can think about is gone. I mean, don't rebuild that which you have destroyed. You understand? I mean, really talk to yourself. If you're going to do that, as we've said 1,000 times, take it all the way out.
don't stop at something that you think is pleasing, because then you aren't, you're kidding yourselves. You're having a bloodless religion. All right. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? I mean, don't you see, every time you lean on your own arm of understanding, you're returning back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation of the children of Israel, before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Now Joshua, the word there is just Jesus in Hebrew. And Caleb is the friend. Caleb was of the tribe, his ancestry came from the Canaanites, which meant the best he could do was to be a friend of the bridegroom. Well, that's Jacob and Joshua are the two witnesses within you. All the best you can do is be Jesus in you, and your conscious mind be Caleb, the friend of the bridegroom. Do you understand? It's again the type, it's wisdom and prophecy resident in the vessel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will his people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people and thy might from among them. Do you understand the guts that Moses had to say that to God?
You don't want to look bad in front of the Egyptians.
He's saying to God exactly that. He's almost commanding God.
Not commanding, he's making a very good argument.
And they will tell it the inhabitants of this land, for the people heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, that thy cloud standeth over them, and thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of fire, of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. And now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by but no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, and neither shall any of them that provoked me to see it. That's the pronouncement on the fast of Ab. That flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I promise you, I have visited the land. I prayed that I would stay there and not have to do anything. I promise you that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land where you know for the first time with the finality that now, at this instant, your destiny is completed. Your warfare is over. It's finished. Period. Anybody have anything else? Any thoughts? Where's Tyra?
Well, that one line really stuck with me where Joshua and Caleb said that the giants that are in the land are bread for us. But the things that come against us are bread.
Bread of affliction. Just a review of the things that happened during this time of Ab. During the period this period between the straits, between Tammuz and Ab, there could be no rejoicing corporately. I mean, there could be no parties or no thing for the full 17 days, or 21 days, I'm sorry. The whole week prior to the fast of Ab, it's forbidden to cut your hair or to wash clothes. Then on the day before the fast, you cannot eat a meal of more than one course. In other words, if you're going to eat something, it has to be like all oatmeal, or probably oatmeal, and couldn't have milk and sugar on it.
It could
only be one thing. You can't eat a meal of more than one course, nor can you eat meat nor drink wine. On the fast of Ab, it's then the same things that took place when there was a death of a loved one takes place on the fast of Ab. It was decreed that, it's decreed that the bed is turned over, the chairs and couches are turned over, you sleep and sit on the ground as a sign of mourning. As I said, on the 9th of Ab, it was decreed that the father should not enter into the promised land. The first temple was destroyed on the fast of Ab. The second temple was destroyed on the fast of Ab. And finally, in AD 135, the city was plowed under on the fast of Ab. As they were reading the assigned readings, you remember some of you the story about the priests were on the wall of the temple and they threw back the keys, and a hand allegedly grabbed the keys out. It's the keys to the kingdom. They said as they were throwing it, Master of the universe, as we did not have the merit to be faithful stewards, these keys are given back into thy hands. And then that's when that figure of a hand, and we're not going to study it this year, but the keys to the kingdom are very important. If a Jew has any litigation with a Gentile, he should avoid him from the first until the 10th. All restrictions which apply to the mourner apply to the fast. There's no eating of water, no drinking, no bathing, no anointing yourself, no wearing of shoes, no sex.
No smoking. You're forbidden to read even from anything like newspapers, radio, television, but you're also forbidden to read the Bible, except for the assigned readings. You're forbidden to read the Torah, the Mishnah, the Midrash, the Halakha, the Haggadah. The readings are the Book of Lamentations, the Book of Job, much of Jeremiah, Psalm 119, Baruch, Letter of Jeremiah, the Song of the Three Young Men, and the Prayer of Manasseh. It says, anyone who does work or does not fast or does not mourn for Jerusalem will not share in her joy, and their iniquity shall be on their bones. In ancient Judaism, it was the most solemn. It was even more solemn than the fast of Yom Kippur. It's a 24-hour fast. It's a major fast where there's no eating or drinking or no water touching your face, no combing your hair, no getting the sleep out of your eyes. And its function is, as all fasts, to cause you to have a hunger for the bread of life. To cause you to see how totally and completely dependent we are on the material. Now, does everybody understand that? I mean, there can be no other agenda on the fast. The question is, how do we then fulfill the type? How do we see that all of these things are only a picture? It's a giant jigsaw puzzle, and all these feasts and fasts and offerings slowly come together, so all we see is Jesus is all and in all. The purpose of the fast of Ab is to show you that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, to show you that how your mind is an enemy of the cross of Christ, to show you that without the resurrection, you are lost, to show you that you don't have to depend on external circumstances of any kind to know the joy and the peace of God. It's a big deal. I mean, it's not celebrated now except in the Hasidic communities. I mean, this is one of the reasons that it's not celebrated, as far as I know, in the Reform. Or they may do some of the readings, but they don't do the actual fast. Is everybody ready to do that?
That's Saturday.
Well, it would be Saturday night to Sunday night.
Oh, really?
Good. It's like I probably have to work right now. So I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I don't know. You were saying that. How do you see how this whole thing comes together? And as you said that, I was thinking about, is it for a perm? The thing about the spiritual man needs virtually no wine to not discern the difference between blessed be Mordecai and cursed be Haman. It's almost like the fast of Ab, as awful as it is to experience, and the Feast of Tabernacles as much fun as it is to experience. It doesn't make any to say hey.
It all reveals the one story, the one life, the mystery of the universe, which is still hid. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only hope of glory.
Yeah.
Think you can...
I was driving down the highway the other day, and just everything that I could think about was going through my mind. Not even in the way of things I perceived as positive or things I perceived as negative, but it was like, in an instant, I was seeing the vanity of everything, and in the end, it all went back to Christ. If it was like Christ was the foundation below everything, and without Him, even the things that we think are, you know, meaningful, aren't meaningful. It's wild.
As I look back at last year, the thing that I remember most from last year was the fast time. And I remember it as the best time I had all year.
That was a good time.
I really had a good time that day.
Boy, that was a drag being out there in the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Reading. There's dreamers of that.
Mm-hmm. You just hate to read. You go to all the stuff reading. You fall and lay there and go.
There's a court case that's going on right now in Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee. Anyway, that a husband and wife had in vitro fertilization of the eggs, and there were 9 eggs, and they tried to implant her with 2 of them, and she passed them away. And now these eggs are frozen. There are 7 left, and they're frozen in this liquid nitrogen, I think, about 250 degrees below zero or some such thing. And in the interim, the husband and wife have decided to get a divorce. And so now there are these 7 fertilized eggs hanging in suspension, they're hanging in the container of the cold, but they're hanging in suspension from a legal and a spiritual standpoint. Because it has to now, the husband and wife, the courts have already settled any property or alimony payments or all those kind of thing. The only issue left is what to do with those 7 fertilized eggs. And it's causing this massive...
It's like the definition of everything.
Yeah, this massive redefinition in law, in terms of property rights, in terms of, I mean, what are these things?
It's like there was a couple in Australia that were very wealthy and they died, and there were 2 of them, and they didn't know if they should try to get an heir or what to do with them. It was the same case.
Yeah. Well, the point that I want to make with this is that the law now is faced, it's taken centuries, thousands and thousands of years, for the law to come up against the one issue, and that is, who is life, or what is life? Where does life begin? Mm-hmm. And it struck me how in the appointed time, or in the economy of God's timing, that we would be the people that would be saying to the world and to the individuals in the world that you are simply God's sperm cells, and you are not life until you're absorbed within the egg and until you grow to maturation. And the picture is perfect. The legal scholars are going to be in perfect harmony with what we preach. That's weird. All that the fast of Ab means to you is that you, as the sperm cell, have been swallowed up in the New Jerusalem as the egg. And now God has placed this thing, this barrier, between you and the world. There's no way that anything outside can get in. But you can abort yourself. You understand? And you abort yourself by the deceitfulness of riches, by the cares of this world, by the deceitfulness of possessions, thoughts, ideas, opinions, by a deceitfulness of the cares of this world. I mean, that's what the whole of Matthew 13 is about. The fast of Ab is this, in one way, the celebration of the law of the
total and complete lack of identity of that egg. I mean, of that sperm cell going into the egg. Everyone on earth has the potential for that life. All it takes is that they abandon themselves to his hands. Well, let me make a decree or a proclamation or whatever. Again, let me read Zechariah 8. Don't go there, just listen. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. And so we will do the same thing we did at Tammuz and have a party instead of the fast.
Say what?
Because,
no, on the ground.
Because we know who we are. We can now say, that the fast has been turned into a feast of gladness and joy. So what we'll do is gather together sometime earlier than normal on Sunday, and I don't know what time that will be. We'll talk about it on Thursday. And so we can have time to do these readings plus the Seder meal. Okay?
Wait.
Anybody have anything else?
Well, that's the surprise of surprises.
Maybe we should get a little extra
one.
I think we should all
leave
quickly.
I think before any of us make a mistake.
Nobody has any opinions?
No.
Well, I mean, are we here?
Opinions?
I think it's
not. No, I got rid of those a couple years ago.
Yeah.
The ones that I kept, I don't bring up anymore.
No, you're scared.
Enough of
this. I kept a light.
So, I mean, we can shower and drink water and all that stuff.
Yeah, the fast, all of the elements of the fast are done, are gone, and it's declared the feast.
We should have a big old feast.
We might want to get a little extra wine.
Like a big meal, like a total layout.
Yeah, we should not. We should
not
have a
feast. Knock down, drag out.
Not,
well, out.
So we have to eat it up in 30 minutes and then cruise. So we can sit there and
maybe even have a second glass.
Yeah.
A lot of helmets.
Helmets?
Not in the bed.
Not a feast.
Not in the one.
Oh, helmet.
Helmets.
You thought you said
helmets.
No.
But we'll end up with the details on Thursday about when and
be there.
Anybody have any?